How many of you like video games?
Yay! Well, what if there was a violent video game that you could play for free, plus it's real life and not a game at all? Wouldn't that be slamming?
Who are these wonderful people?
The Army. It's everything you like.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm Seaborg.
And I'm Cobain.
I played so much that game. It was
if it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay. I don't even know what day it is. Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 140. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
It's December 10th, 2006. The website is hwhq.com. The email address is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. You can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. Now, today's December 10th. What happened on this day in 1993?
Doom was released.
That's a big day.
Yeah.
That is a huge day. I remember the day. I remember that.
It was Doom's birthday.
That's pretty awesome, because Doom is one hell of a game. Still played to this day. I like even have this on my damn Xbox 360, you know?
No.
It's that good of a game. A timeless classic in what essentially gave birth to the, you know, first-person shooter genre. I mean, of course, we had a couple, like, I think we had Blake Stone, I think, before that, and Castle Wolfenstein.
Right.
But they didn't do what Doom did. They gave you multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Which was awesome. I think that was the thing that really made it the kicker. Plus, you had the easy modifications, too. You know, you could, the WAD files and all that stuff, you could modify it how you saw fit. So it's a glorious day today, and let's see if we can do today justice with episode 140. What have you been playing in the last week?
Geometry Wars.
Anything
else? A whole lot of Geometry Wars.
I'm sure you played something else, too.
Well, Gears of War I throw in every once in a while, get a little farther, and then I'm like, I want to shoot me some circles.
Yes, indeed. Myself, lots of Geometry Wars, a little bit of Gears of War Online Versus, and some Final Fantasy V on the Game Boy Advance. I've been playing in my DS from time to time here and there, trying to save the world while I'm blowing up circles, of course, you know. These things kind of happen. Good games, but, however, the reason I kind of bring this up right off the bat is we don't have a whole lot of specific game talk this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we can't give any reviews or previews of anything, because we didn't play shit. Believe me, I could talk for an hour and a half about Geometry Wars if you really wanted me to. I really could, but that is something I do not want to see myself do.
This should change next week. I'm going to get a Gamefly account and start renting some games and then checking some new stuff out. And
whatever happened to Rayman?
I played that.
Oh, okay. We totally forgot that.
Yeah, I forgot to put it down in the notes.
That good, huh? Fabulous. However, we did manage some email this week. Now, also, both of us were out sick at some point this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm actually shocked that we were here. Now, sick, as defined by most people, you know, maybe a little different. I had a gnarly sore throat. I couldn't talk for one day this whole week. I could not talk. I sat here at home playing Geometry Wars and listening to people on Gears of War talk shit. And that's about it. I could not participate. I could barely talk for a majority of one day, and then I was fine.
Yeah, I actually had a bit of bronchitis.
I thought you were going to die.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. So I was not sick. Those of you keeping track on your calendars can fucking take this one back. I was not ill, all right? I just had a gnarly sore throat. I don't know what happened. Email. We actually got some email this week. Thank God. It's been a while since we've had some solid email here.
Couple pieces.
Yeah, we did. We got quite a couple. Three here, it looks like. That's good stuff. The last one I can't wait to read, because I don't know what to think about this. But I'm going to do my best reading these emails with a cough drop in my mouth. Not so much because of a cough, but because my throat is still just a little bit of recovering. From Dark Dragon Man Neo. The title of this email was, "Since when has dying over and over again been a fantasy?" Hey guys, what's going on? Sorry I haven't gotten back to you guys, but I've been busy with life and Final Fantasy XII. Well, I got to say everything you said was true, but I had a problem with the story. Not to say it's bad, but I am not fully getting into it. Maybe it's just because I get my ass kicked a lot, and the story gets just handed to you after what feels like just longer than it should. Meanwhile, you spend God knows how many hours level grinding and facing the same boss over and over and over, trying to get lucky and beat it. I know you gave it a 45 out of 50, but I have to knock it down a bit because this is a 40 out of 50. However, one thing I like was the fact that you can pause the game and it freezes the clock. Mm-hmm. This rocks for me since I torture my PS2 by literally leaving it on all day while I'm out at work, and if I play it before I head out.
I have to agree real quickly. Past Final Fantasies and a lot of RPGs, just leave the clock going. It pisses me off because that's supposed to be how much time I actually played.
Right, right.
In a 40-hour game, I go outside to smoke. I got to run to the 7-Eleven or whatever. That adds up a lot.
Right, it does. It definitely does. Other than that, I'm slightly disappointed I waited so long, though what is that supposed to be? I is still welcome and better than some of the recent games. Hey, I've been wondering if you guys have heard anything to let you play import games on the Wii. I like to get some stuff from Japan, and I just think it's a bit early to mod the thing, too. I can wait a bit since I'm all interested in the Shin-Chan and Bleach Wii. Also, if you tried playing GameCube imports with the Action Replay with your Wii, would it work? I've heard a lot of speculation on this, but I thought I should try you guys to hear what you have to say.
I've seen that Action Replay thing, but I never tried it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked too into it, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I've actually, the only thing I've seen on the Action Replay so far with the Wii is it does work in the GameCube emulation mode. So I think I saw some things where some people were playing, I thought homebrew stuff or something. I can't remember exactly what was going on now, but they're working on it. I still haven't seen anything yet, and I guarantee when this kind of thing actually starts working, it'll just come across my desk. You know, it'll just kind of happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll notice it, and I'm sure we're going to mention that once we find out exactly what you can and cannot do with this thing. I remember when the GameCube first came out, and they found that you could mod that one little thing and put a Switch onto it to play, you know, US and everything else games.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I don't think there was like a UK and a Japanese setting and a US setting. I think there was like either or. It was weird. It was like US and everything else, I think.
Right.
But I remember seeing that pretty early on in the GameCube's life, too. I remember seeing that little mod there they had, because it was really easy to do, at least on the original GameCubes. So we'll see what we come up with this in the future here. Now, I have one thing I wanted to bring up after hearing C4 talking about it, and that's Banjo-Kazooie for the Xbox 360. First off, I have to say that I loved the game back in the day, but I don't need to see it again. I know they'll just fuck it up and destroy my memories of this game. I could understand if they did it on the Wii, but I doubt that's going to happen. I know maybe Rare can pull it off, but for some reason it has that weird bad 3D Sonic feeling to it that's getting to me. Also, while on the subject of great games from Rare, it would seem that there's some trouble getting the rights to GoldenEye 64 for the Wii Virtual Console. This is another sad thing, and it kind of hits close to home that I can't play this thing on the Wii, and that I'd have to deal with the N64's frame rate to play it. Now, I read this too, that they were having trouble getting that game, because Rare, who made the game, now is owned by Microsoft, who would, you know, just as soon watch Nintendo die than anything else, and somebody else just got the Bond license. Some other company now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because there's a new Bond game. I can't remember who it is, but we just saw it today even, earlier. I forgot now. But anyway, that's creating quite a problem, because I'm sure back when the lawyers drew up their plans for these, you know, agreements years ago, they didn't consider this.
I don't remember the N64 version having bad frame rates.
I'm sure it wasn't a nice, smooth 60 frames per second like we'd like to think it was. I'm pretty sure it was a little bit choppy. Last is a game I don't know if any of the Japanese RPG fans remember this game. I'm talking to you on this one, Kobar, so listen up. But I just rediscovered Rogue Galaxy. I thought this thing was already out, but it seems it never made it, but it's due sometime in 2007. If you haven't seen anything on this game, I recommend it, especially if you're a fan of Level 5. The cel-shading is gorgeous, and that alone is why I'm looking at it. If you guys got something on it, tell us all on the show so we, as in myself, should get it. Hope you guys keep, hope you guys keep you the good work. Damn it! It's not me that's making this hard to read. And I hope it wasn't the only email, because it's kind of ridiculous. Oh, and by the way, I don't know when I will get around to this, but I'm trying to get one of my friends to let me try God Hand, so I'll try and get back to you on that in a bit. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does.
Some kind of Japanese game, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. That sounds awfully familiar.
I've never heard of this Rogue Galaxy, but I'll have to look into it.
Definitely. Definitely. We will keep our eyes peeled.
I like good cel shading.
No, it can look very good. Yeah. It definitely can. It can look very good. The next email from Dickie T. Baggins about Wii damage. This is pretty funny. C4 and Cobar, I'm sure you've heard about the guy who threw the Wii remote through his 60-inch plasma screen. Anyways, check out this site, www.weedamage.com. It shows some more damage that the Wii remote has done due to the Wii remote strap breaking and human error. Now, I for one have to say, this is human error. Okay, yeah. The strap can break all the hell it wants. You shouldn't let go of the damn thing anyway.
I don't even put the strap on.
Real men wouldn't put the strap on. That was a messed up sentence. But seriously, hold on to your controllers. That'd be my advice, I guess, for all these people. Now, I have checked this site out, and the best one is the first picture of the kid that got hit in the face with the Wii remote. And he's got the red mark slash... His face is hilarious. I'm sure there was a lot of fun at that Thanksgiving party.
There was one that looked very fake.
With it stuck in the TV.
Yeah, in the plastic part, though. And it just,
yeah.
Not only would you have to be extremely strong and, like, purposely trying to get in there, it just didn't look real.
Yeah, there was something not quite right about that. It's a pretty funny picture, though, no less. But on top of that, did you notice in that picture that the battery casing, like the shell that slides over, is actually sitting right there in front of the TV? I think if you hit your TV with that much force, the battery casing wouldn't just pop off and land right in front of your television.
Mm-hmm.
It would be gone. No. It would be somewhere else in the house. There's just something not quite right about that picture. I don't know. But it's a pretty funny site to check out.
Yeah.
It really is. It's WeeDamage, WeeDamage.com. You know, did I mention this last show, that PS3 mistakes?
I don't think you did.
Okay.
Not on the show.
This is another site that everybody has to keep an eye on here. It's PS3mistakes.com. They've got mostly stories about the PlayStation 3, and I hate to sound like we're, you know, ripping into the PS3 for the simple fact that it's the PS3 here. But, I mean, really, the site just kind of covers a bunch of different news stories about the PlayStation and things that Sony has come out and said. They're saying, oh, we've got all of our production issues straightened out. We'll hopefully have a million units in the pipeline by 2007. Okay, well, whatever that means.
Yeah,
I don't know. Microsoft's pipeline seems to be working just fine, and so does Nintendo's. They have a real shortage, not a shortage in manufacturing. But plus, there's even stories. I mean, they're not all negative stories, is why I want to mention it. Because it's not just like why Sony sucks or why the PlayStation 3 sucks. It's just like a clearinghouse for all news PlayStation. You know, as far as PlayStation 3.
The mistakes they made.
Right. I mean, they actually talk about a whole bunch of different things, which is pretty nice. Kind of keeps you pretty well informed, you know. Like, I do believe they even mentioned a story I saw somewhere else where the headline was PlayStation 3 sales dropped 49%.
Mm-hmm.
Some site somewhere. And when I saw that, of course I clicked on it because it was like, whoa. But then, like, immediately it kind of occurred to me, duh, they're still selling 100% of their units.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't have that many. So, of course... You know, the media spin on that's pretty negative, but this PS3 mistake site, if I remember right, had a story. It kind of came to the defense of that and said, look, you idiots, they're still selling every single unit. They just didn't have that many more, you know? So it's not all bad. It's worth to check out, you know? Keep an eye on it. They got some pretty good news over there. This email, I don't know what to make of this. I do not know what to think about this. It's great, though. I just don't know what to think of it because there's unanswered questions here. This is from Andy Boy. Who's on my friends list on Xbox Live, as a matter of fact. He needs to... By the way, since I have everybody's ear, we need to make sure... See, they need groupings or something. So we can just have, like, a, you know, gamer group, and then you can add the group, and it adds all these people to your list. On the forum... Yeah, that would be way easy. On the forum, in the game section, we have an Xbox Live gamer tag section. So you can go there and see everybody's gamer tag and add them to your list there. Now... You kind of have to take it upon yourself to add all these people yourself because nobody's going to go check through it. So, you know, when you tack yourself onto that thread, you may as well just sit there and send some invites out to people too because otherwise it's probably not going to happen.
Throw in the comments that I'm a fan of gamer and I'm sure a lot of us will be happy to throw you on.
Yeah, you can like tack on a voice message or something too and at mm-hmm. least let us know who you are. I mean, at the very least, put the damn handle on the forum so I can go check because I do get invites from people that I do not know because maybe they're on IRC and I know them very well. And their gamer tag is something completely different, so I have no idea, and I'll let it sit there for a week or three until somebody asks me, hey, did you add me? I'm so-and-so, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, Deathlord666, I didn't know you were, you know, Angel on IRC, I'm sorry, you know, crap, I didn't put two and two together, you know. So anyway, from Andy Boy, dude, that's the great way to start an email right there, dude, After listening to your show for about a couple of months now, I finally got off my ass and jumped into the gaming world. I bought a DS Lite a month ago for gaming at work on my breaks and lunch. Yesterday, I received an Xbox 360 for an early Christmas gift. Holy shit, I can't believe what I have been missing. I got the premium version of the console. I also got an extra wireless controller, 12-month subscription to Xbox Live, and 4 games. The games are NBA Live 07, NHL 07, Need for Speed Carbon, and Gears of Fucking War. This game is amazing. I will never get any sleep now. My job is easy, so it won't be a problem for me. I must thank you, C4 and Kobar, for bringing me into this wonderful world of gaming. I just listened to episode 139, and I will have to pick up some of the games you mentioned for the 360 and the DS. Thank you for all your great info and making me an insomniac. Handy boy. Now, go right ahead.
I don't know how this happened.
I can't.
It's cool.
We're
glad that you're... That
this
you're,
is awesome.
Yeah. And that we brought you into gaming, but how did you come across a gaming show, listen for a while, when you never played games?
That's what I don't understand either. I can't figure that out. I cannot wrap my head around this. Like,
we must be just that entertaining.
that must be what it is. I'm stumped. I do not... This is impossible. I can't understand this at all. How did somebody who never... I mean... Maybe he's trying to say, no, he flat out says, I've finally jumped into gaming. I don't understand this then. That's amazing. Now, we also can't figure out how old you are, obviously, because you didn't say. Mm-hmm. But, like, things are spelled right.
It's well constructed.
Yeah. You know, you have a job, so you're not 12 or Final Dragoon. You know, I can't... I had to slip that in there. I can't figure this out. Anyway, it's awesome, though, and it's really cool. And you know what I'm really excited to hear about, then? Is people like this, who, if honestly, maybe, like, I'm not so sure, maybe he was into Pong, and then hasn't gamed since then. You know, I know people like that. Hell, my dad has played Pac-Man, but nothing since, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe he used to play Nintendo Entertainment System games, and nothing since. You know, it's possible. Maybe, I mean, we don't have the whole story here, but the way this is worded got us really, like, I don't know, our imaginations kind of ran wild on, like, I don't know, you just... never touched a game before and then decided to just get all hooked up, which is awesome. But what I would like to beg of you is keep sending us emails about your gaming experiences from fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Not the jaded, cynical fucks like we are.
Right.
You know, you've got to, you know, from somebody who's got a fresh look on this, you know, not somebody who's just as jaded as we are where we, you know, pick things apart. And we're getting better. I'm trying like hell.
Yeah.
And I want to say since the 360, I have changed quite a bit, I think. I don't know if anybody could tell in the shows that we're not quite as same as we used to be.
I'm still a jaded, cynical ass, but...
Yes, you are, but give it time. Give it time. That's awesome. Anyway, thank you for the email, Andy Boy. Let us know what's going on in the world of gaming through fresh new eyes. Now, every year, for some reason, we make a big hadoo about the Spike TV Awards.
I don't know if we make a big to-do.
No, but we make a hell of a lot of fun of them.
There's a lot to make fun of.
There really is. There really is. Now, it's that time of year again. If you heard the last episode, you're aware that, you know, our Game of the Year stuff is coming together. Go to our forums. I have to plug this again.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the game radio related section. The very top thread up there, it's sticky or announced or something, is the one where you can put in your votes. Please don't be a douchebag and put in, you know, random crap. You also don't need to add the or leave the pirate tags on anything that you may or may not have stolen. I don't care what country you're from. We don't need to advertise that. Not really. It is funny, though. But come on. And anyway.
We did have that happen, by the way.
Yeah. From somebody way cool. So that's why it's funny.
Yeah.
In any case. Spike TV Awards are in. This was done, I guess, on Friday. Today is Sunday. We will air Tuesday on Rant Radio and DDP Hack Radio on Tuesday at 4 p.m. And on Wednesday, the Spike TV Awards will air on TV with Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson.
There you go.
Again. I want to watch it, though. I like watching it.
Afro Samurai.
I like watching it, though. Do you?
What, the show?
Yeah.
I think I got forced into it last year.
I think so, too.
In fact,
huh?
I think it was here.
I was going to say, I think you were here, and I was like, here, watch this, and we turned it on. Yeah, but, you know, I like watching it. Even if it's bad, I don't know. I like watching it. And I'm going to watch it this year, too.
I hate it, though, because it's like the popular side of gaming.
It is, it is.
It's like...
sponsored by Sony, it may, may as well be, you know. Sony Electronic Arts had a child, this would be it. Now, you know what else I'm not so sure about? Is on Xbox Live for the last 2 or 3 days. I've seen advertisements for this. I'm wondering if it might come up as something purchasable on the video marketplace.
It seems like the perfect thing to throw
it
on.
It does.
There.
It really does. It really does. And I would actually
especially
be interested in seeing
all
that.
This Xbox stuff on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they got a little bit of a stroking this year from Spike TV, which is pretty interesting because we actually have the list, which is you know, a lot of people don't like to watch this crap. And so we're going to ruin it for you right here and now. It's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
if you don't want to hear
it. Push forward a little bit if you want to watch it.
Skip up. I mean, we're at the 20-minute mark right now. Give us maybe 10 minutes to rip into this. Maybe not even that long. I could see this being 5, 6, 7 minutes. Anywho, should we do this from the bottom up?
Sure. Yeah, because we don't want to
start with the game of the year. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead?
All right. The breakthrough technology is the Wii. Not exactly shocking.
No.
That's like
the Wii
category.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I did the email.
Oh, okay. Best multiplayer game is Gears of War.
Hell fuck yes.
And it's...
it is a hell of a multiplayer game. Maybe not even for the versus. The co-op is pretty awesome. The versus is hella fun.
But it's got a nice round multiplayer experience, because you can do the co-op.
Yes, it does.
And you can do the versus.
That's a very good, nice way to put it. And it's not this 40-man orgy, like... Call of Duty 3.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where it's like you spawn and explode and get lucky and spawn somewhere far away.
I've been saying that. I don't really like that. And a lot of people look at me like,
I know, huh? You're insane.
I prefer the smaller arenas with
better.
Fewer people.
It's better. There's like less of a lag issue. You can actually communicate with your teammates.
Not to mention you have, like, in this case, 4 enemies. You can learn those enemies' names. You can have rivals within that gaming session.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good
point.
If you
have 40 people, Deathkiller 07, you may see him once in the next hour and a half that you're going to play.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. That's a good point because you get to the point where you know that you got to stay the hell away from this guy because he rips you a new asshole every time you run across him. You know, in fact, the other day when I was playing Gears of War last night, it was awesome. There's, you know, you get to pick from the different character models too, depending if you're Locust or Cog. I played Marcus when I'm Cog, but I hate playing Cog. I like playing on the Locust team because they're red. It's my favorite color. Every game I play, I'm red. So when I get stuck on the Cog team, I start shooting my own guys. Okay? I suck. I know.
Is there friendly fire?
You can switch it.
Okay.
I've never played a game with friendly fire on, though.
Right.
Everybody has it off. So, which is fine with me. I like that.
Yeah.
I really do. Friendly fire is stupid. So, I play as Locust, and I like the burly dudes, the badass guys that have the bow. Think about the level where you're down underground.
The ones with the red.
Yeah. Right. I play that dude. I love that guy, right? He's just awesome. So the other day, I hop in this room, and there's 4 dudes on Cog that are all friends, because they're all talking to each other. And they're like, yeah, you know, we're just waiting for, you know, so-and-so. You know, we just need opponents. And we're, you know, beating everybody's ass, so, you know, you guys might lose. We're pretty good. And I'm like, okay, whatever. 4 of us jumped into this, and we all picked the same model. Just it was like random chance, but it's not that we pick it because you can set it earlier in your game. Like you actually have an option to pick default me to this guy.
Right.
We all had the same guy, and they're making fun of us. They're like, "Oh my god, look at all these noobs! You guys are gonna get so owned." We kicked some fucking ass. Just 4 random dudes who never spoke to each other. We didn't talk at all.
Right on.
We just wandered around. It was neat too to see us all be the same. I don't know. I had a hell of a good time with it. I enjoyed my day playing that game. It's actually pretty good. It really is. The multiplayer, like the versus stuff.
Hmm. I'm excited to get into it once I get my gold.
Sorry. I was just thinking of what happened.
My girlfriend stole my free month of gold.
We spent a good half an hour, 45 minutes last night trying to figure out. We knew you had one somehow, but couldn't remember how it worked. We finally registered. You registered your console.
I'm not sure if that's what did it, though. I think it's because it was the first gamer tag that was made
on
the console.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I think it's because it was the first one on the console once it was registered, I think.
Could be too.
That's what I think it is, because I didn't do mine on the console, and I had my free month. Mm. I did mine on the Xbox website and then did the Recover Gamer Tag because making it on the console sucked.
Right.
So, I bet. But that's funny shit, though.
Yeah. She won't use it.
No, I know.
She'll play Hexic.
Hexic and Feeding Frenzy and fucking Zuma and Bejeweled.
Although she's playing Geometry Wars now.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Now you're never going to see your 360 again. And you just bought her a Wii.
I kick her off.
You say, woman, I just bought you a Wii.
I do.
Merry Christmas.
And I'm looking through, because like, the Wii actually says like how much you've played. It shows a little calendar.
Right, right, right.
Like, look at this. You play it once a week.
Oh.
No, she's busy playing my 360.
Damn.
Oh, well. Anyway, best graphics would be Gears of War.
Imagine that.
And it's due.
It really, yeah.
There's a lot of games that are coming that look just as good, if not better. But
I'll say
as of right now.
I'll say it. Halo 3 looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Halo, so Lost Planet. You know, Lost Planet looks really good. Those explosions are intense.
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Bioshock looks really good. Freaking insane. I mean, okay, but.
Right now.
We're looking at Gears of War.
Gears of War is the only game that's of that caliber.
Yes. Visual orgasm. You need to get Gears of War.
Ocular masturbation.
I like that.
Best military game is Company of Heroes. I don't even know much about this game at all.
I'll take a stab at it. A World War II first-person shooter?
I think you might be right.
I might be onto something there.
Wow. Best shooter is... Gears of War!
Awesome. Awesome. It's good to see when an actual... You know, when a good game actually gets recognition.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see this.
The best RPG is The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
That's good to see, too, because I cannot think of an RPG this year that came out that can top that. I really can't.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Enchanted Arms was good, and it was a great game for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But in scope, it's like a side quest in Oblivion, you know? And it doesn't quite have the freedom that's nice. But, of course, it's a Japanese RPG.
Right, it's not like the style.
Right, so...
But, yeah, it's definitely a good game, that's for sure. Best fighting game is Mortal Kombat Armageddon.
That went over pretty well, actually.
I don't think it had a whole lot of competition this year, though.
No, it had Street Fighter 2 on the Xbox Live Arcade and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3.
Better Life 4.
That didn't come out this year.
It didn't?
No. That was a launch title, wasn't it?
Oh.
I think so. It's pretty old. Okay, I got it for $40, so it had to be pretty old.
Yeah, not one whole lot of fighting games.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's too bad. Yeah. I miss good fighting games. And you know what else I'm pissed about, Microsoft? Get the fuck back to work on your goddamn backwards compatibility. Because I have games I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Capcom versus NK, SNK 2EO, or whatever the hell that's called. And Guilty Gear X2 Pound Reloaded Midnight, whatever, the Carnival or something. It's got this crazy name.
Well, they might, now that the PS3 is out and like everybody's saying, well, I can play my PS2
Dude, I am not playing a PS3 fighter. I can't do it. The D-pad is so bad on all the all the PlayStation controllers. I can't play a fighting game.
Best action game, Dead Rising.
That's kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah,
it's a good game, but it is heavily flawed. Mm-hmm. Heavily flawed. It's a good game, though. It's a good game.
Well, this is more a popularity show than it is what is good.
Right, but, okay, we know the whole list, and the listeners don't know it just yet. But I must say, they did a good job this year.
They did.
I think they did a hell of a good job. I'm shocked. I can agree with almost every one of these. There's like three that I may not agree with. Maybe four.
And even those ones that you don't agree with, they're not, like, outrageous.
King Kong!
Yeah.
Fuck that.
All right, best driving game goes to Burnout Revenge,
hell
Xbox 360.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the 360 version, right. Not the crap-ass one on the PS2 and the Xbox.
Good stuff. Critics' Choice, The Legend of Zelda, The Twilight Princess.
I had to throw Nintendo a bone, I guess.
Yeah, more than just breakthrough technology.
You know, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you made a good game, too.
Most addictive.
This one I don't agree with.
The Oblivion.
I don't agree with that.
Geometry
one.
Wars.
Geometry Wars.
Of course, that was 2005.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's still not Oblivion, though. This is definitely not the most addictive game.
Studio of the Year, which is a weird category.
Yeah, it is.
Goes to Epic.
For Gears of War. That's what it says, Epic Games for Gears of War, yeah.
Right. But it should be for the engine itself.
Yeah. Because
that engine, just like always, is awesome.
Yep,
real
just
beautiful.
Look at the amazing stuff
runs
you can get.
Smooth.
Like RoboBlitz. What ass that game is.
Well, we'll see a lot more use of it.
I know. I'm just so bummed. I'm tired of crappy live arcade games. If they had like 200 games, I'd be broke. Because there's so many. Like there might be only a third of those that I would want to play, but god damn it, I'd buy them all, because the arcade is just the coolest damn thing to me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and we'd run out of hard drive space real quick.
I can get another hard drive.
All right, best soundtrack goes to Guitar Hero 2. And, I don't know, I'd probably give this to Gears of War.
I would probably give it to Final Fantasy 3 on the DS.
What?
Dude, it's awesome. The music is really good. It really is good. It really is something. Now, what about Final Fantasy 12, though? Doesn't that have it? Don't they call in the motherfucking symphony for this shit?
Oh, yeah, it's good music.
Okay.
But it's Final Fantasy music.
Right.
It's the same damn shit I've been listening to since Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I liked it.
Now it's real instruments instead of...
Beep, 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 right. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah.
But now Gears of War gets me going. Gets my heart
pumping. Doesn't it, though? It does a good job. I need to get back to the single player of that. Or some co-op.
Best song, which you'd think just would be the same as best soundtrack, but whatever.
Yeah.
Lights and Sound by Yellow Card and Burnout Revenge, Xbox 360.
That's amazing. I'm going to have to check this out, because I hate all of the music on that game.
I don't know how much you'd like Yellow Card, dude.
Oh, they're known?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I probably
Yellow,
would hate
Yellow
it.
Card does not really strike me as yeah. C4 music.
No. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Best team sports game is not fucking Madden.
Oh my god! What the fuck? I didn't see this category.
It's not even EA. It goes to NBA 2K7.
Really? From 2K Sports. Oh my god. That is fat. That is awesome. I am a happy camper. It's about damn time.
Most definitely. Best individual sports game goes to Tony Hawk Project 8.
What else is in that category?
Fight Night would be.
Okay.
The golf game would be.
Tiger Woods.
Very little, though.
Oh, I see. Because it one says team and this one says individual. Aha. I gotcha.
Top Spin might.
Dude, I want to play that so bad. I downloaded the demo from the Japanese Xbox Live, and I'm digging it.
It's on ours now, too, I think.
It very well may be, but at the time it wasn't. And I wanted to get my tennis games on. Thank you, Sega, for virtual tennis. For teaching me that Pong can be fun again.
Just get the Rockstar
Fuck
table tennis.
That game sucks ass. Did you play the demo of that? Oh, it's a terrible game. Terrible game.
And game of the year goes to The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
I'm pretty happy with this. I was pretty satisfied with this list. I mean, although it does sound like they picked like four games, you know, and then
And look at this list. This is the Xbox list.
It really is.
I mean, some of this stuff is on more than just the Xbox.
Right, but they're sure in the hell not giving Tony Hawk Project 8 any awards for the ass that it is on the PS3.
Yeah.
You know? I was pretty shocked by this, and I'm not shocked because it's a 360 thing. I mean, the 360 clearly had the lead this year because they had a year jump start, okay? But, I mean, these games are out. Resistance Fall of Man is out, that everybody tells me is just the most amazing thing, but it's because they haven't played anything else, you know? In any case, so that was 12 minutes of the Spike TV Awards, so... We lied to the people that had to jump ahead.
Hey, you might have heard, like...
The best
choice or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, maybe not. No, not that far down. In any case, there have been, speaking of the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, screenshots making the rounds on the global interweb of comparisons. Mm-hmm. Now, this happens every time new consoles come out. The fanboys crawl out from their dens, waving their little flags. I must admit, there I was when the PlayStation 2 came out. I stepped outside wearing my Sonic the Hedgehog outfit, waving my Sega flag, carrying my Dreamcast in my left arm. Fuck you, Sony. You know what we had? We had screenshots of games like, and this is the only one that comes to mind, but there was more. But the one that comes to mind the most was Dead or Alive 2, the fighting game. Mm-hmm. Dead or Alive 2 on the PS2 was a jaggedy nightmare. And on the Dreamcast, it was just perfect. You know, I mean, it was just beautiful. And to see this, now clearly, the PlayStation 2 out-hardwared the Dreamcast.
In the end.
But not by a whole lot, either. Not by a terrible amount. It's pretty amazing. The numbers at the time, it was something like the Dreamcast could push 6 million polygons, and Sony was saying before it came out, 70 million.
Yeah.
Okay?
In wireframe.
Right, right. Once it came down to it, it was closer to like 8. You know, and it just so happened that Sega kind of had a bad rap at the time, even though I still think some of the best games were on that goddamn Dreamcast. It gave me an arcade feel. Mm. I have not had that from a console. Another console. Period. I felt like I was at a goddamn arcade all the time. It was bizarre. It was just, all the games were straight out of the arcade, a lot of them anyway. Right. Not all of them, but quite a lot of them. And they were set up to just be that way. It was just fat.
Like one of the most famous Dreamcast games, Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi. You know, there's a good example. Hydro Thunder. I played that game entirely too much. Even Street Fighter 3, I played quite a bit on that. I mean, I had a shit ton of games for it. You were there on IRC that day where we were listing off good Dreamcast games, mm-hmm. and you were just like, holy crap! The list was pretty long.
Yeah.
I mean, because we kept, me and somebody else, I don't remember who, Raibo, I think, kept just pasting in huge chunks of text, just typing out all these games that we played and had a decent time with on the Dreamcast, or at least were pretty good. There was quite a bit that I liked. In any case, the same thing is happening now, of course, with the 360 and the PlayStation 3. I don't want this to sound like we're just bagging on the PlayStation 3. This was put out by GameSpot. Mm-hmm. You can go to tinyurl.com/Yankee. What the hell's J?
Juan.
Y-J-O-Y-T as in Tom E. Okay? I always get these terrible tiny URLs, man. This is horrible. In any case, they have a little, an 8-game screenshot roundup where you get to, it shows you the Xbox 360 version. You can hover over the PlayStation 3 version, or hover over the picture and it switches to the PS3 version.
It's a nice way to do it.
It is good. It's better than side to side. Right. Or side by side. You can't get that same what has changed, mm-hmm. you know. First of all. We're not just bashing the PS3 because it's a PS3. Secondly, they are first-generation PS3 games versus mostly second-gen Xbox 360 games. But, I mean, crap. Fight Night Round 3 is on this list, too. Okay.
Right, and the 360 is more normal, conventional hardware. The PS3 has this cell stuff going on and all right. that. And programmers have to get used to programming for that.
It's
going to
take them some time. So, however, I refuse to believe that they haven't had their hands on a PS3 dev kit, you know, for like a week and threw this together. I'm sure that Electronic Arts had dev kits for a long time now. Most of these games are EA. Most of these games. Out of these 8 games, I think 6 of them are, you know. So it's a pretty fair comparison, really. It just simply is.
Yeah, and next year will be even better.
Yeah, obviously. They're going to get a little bit better handle on the hardware for both systems.
Yeah, so is the 360.
You know, the 360's not tapped out yet. My proof of this, compare Gears of War versus any other game.
Mm-hmm.
Owned, okay? Except for Oblivion. Oblivion looks freaking amazing, too, okay? But simply put, Gears of War just outshines all of this stuff. And sorry, Resistance, Fall of Man fans.
It
just
looks
doesn't
okay.
stack up. Yeah, it's all right. There's nothing extraordinary about it, okay? Now, the first game they did, though, on this little comparison thing, now follow along with us. This is actually pretty fun to watch here. Go to that GameSpot page, and you can. Each page has like 5 screenshots for each game, for one game at a time for 8 pages. And Need for Speed Carbon was the first game that they featured here. They have the 360 shot. Is the first one. Remember that. So you have to hover over to see the PS3 shot when you're doing this. Now, take a look at some of the lighting in these shots. Notice that the 360 shots have a lot better lighting to them.
And I'd like to point out that this is a theme throughout pretty much every game.
Yes, it is. This is, I don't know if they just haven't figured out how to do it yet, but I suspect the case very well may be that because of the way the 360 hardware is designed, it's just better at doing that.
Yeah, the 360's video card very well might be better at lighting.
It very well may be, absolutely. Now, we also know that the PS3, this is no secret, is better at, what did they say, streaming? And
right.
Remember all this stuff? Yeah, it takes a lot longer.
Crunching numbers, they're going to use it for like supercomputers.
Right,
stuff,
right, something
labs.
Like that, you know. But it just so happens, Sony decided it would make a great console. Not so sure anymore. So, I don't know. The better lighting on the 360 definitely makes a huge difference, in particularly some of these games.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it definitely matters, but I don't think as much. It doesn't seem to matter as much in this game. The screenshots look fairly decent.
Yeah, on both of them. The textures are even better on the PS3 in some of the shots.
And it's only on part of them, though.
Right.
Like, I know you like the car better on the PS3. Well, I have a hard time telling. I can't.
It's not a great difference, but I did like the PS3 a little.
But the buildings look a lot better. In the PS3 version, the textures are nicer on the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing to consider is all these games are probably pretty small. PlayStation 3 clearly, you know, obviously has Blu-ray, and they could, you know, put some pretty massive textures on there in the future. So but maybe they're going to, you know.
360 games can be multiple DVDs.
That's a good point. It's, boy, would that suck ass, though.
Sure.
But it could happen.
You're never going to get more than three or four of them, though.
No, right.
Not in this generation. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to tap out Blu-ray's capacity.
If they do, it's going to be Final Fantasy 13, yeah. The movie.
Or Final Fantasy 14, maybe.
Maybe.
It's just not going
to
happen.
No. The 360 also seemed to have had actually draw more items.
Yeah.
You know, like you could look off in the distance in both of these games, and there was more shit on the screen,
mm-hmm.
which is very
more
bizarre.
Signs and stuff.
Yeah.
And
buildings that you could see that
about
weren't
the same
there.
Distance.
Yeah. They were drawing the same distance. That was the weird part. It was more like, I think that if you were playing the PS3 version, it looks like you would have pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, boom, there would be that building that you couldn't see just, you know, 3 pixels back. You know,
it's also possible that when they were making it for the PS2, they went, wow, we're not really getting the frames per second that we need. Let's rip out some of these signs and whatnot.
This has also been a kind of a common thing with some games,
mm-hmm.
is that they're just not running as good as their 360 counterparts. Okay, Call of Duty 3 was the next game. Why don't you go ahead here? We'll just bounce back and forth, I guess.
The biggest difference in the PS3 was stuff was kind of blurry. The lighting made stuff very washed out and kind of like...
You know what it reminded me of? Old VHS recorded episodes of MASH. That's exactly what I thought of when I saw this on the PS3
nice.
Version. It really did kind of look that way. It was really weird. Very jaggedy edges here and there.
Mm-hmm.
How to best describe? Blurry, but still blocky.
Right.
Right? Like I don't know.
The textures were blurry, but and the lines were aliased.
Right. It was very bizarre. If you look at the Xbox 360 shots, you could even see some pretty good detail in some of the stuff even far away.
Mm-hmm. And the buildings in the background of the PS3 version are very blurry and like the textures are almost not there.
Right. What is this all about? I don't know what the hell is wrong with them. Madden 07. This is a big one for a lot of mainstream gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you're probably not listening. The PS3 version, it seemed to be that the player shadows were ass. You noticed this, and I didn't.
Yeah, the shadows, again, the lighting and shadowing, the 360 just shined head and shoulders above the PS3 version in this game.
It was quite different, too. It was pretty drastic.
The uniforms in the 360 version, it actually looks like cloth.
Yeah.
And it's like folding properly.
You can see the logos on it. It looked nice. It looked really good.
And on the PS3 version, it looked like PS2. I mean,
it was kind of blurry, and you couldn't, like, it didn't almost have any bump mapping to it.
Right.
Just like a texture slapped on. It wasn't terrible.
And it didn't look like it was, like, folding like cloth would.
One of the scenes looked okay. The one with the zoomed up on the football guy underneath the goal post things.
Mm-hmm.
He looked all right.
Kick that ball.
Yeah,
I think you get an extra point.
The fork with the missing middle prongs.
Right,
that thing. He looked okay though on both of them. He looked all right, but definitely the 360 version looks better. It's just I don't know. It just seemed like they did a better job. But you know that this is their flagship product, so they put all kinds of effort into it.
The grass on the field looked way better on the 360 version too.
It did.
Looked like lush green grass. And where the other one is, unless we were looking at one that was grass and one that was turf.
Oh, maybe. That
could have been.
Well could be, too. Because they did actually fuck up in one of the screenshots there. And if you actually read the thing, if you're going along with us here, you'll see that the 360 version shows stadium shadows. So you're on the field and you can see the shadow of the stadium on the field. If you look at the PlayStation 3 shots, they don't show that, but it's because they had it set at the wrong time.
No. It was actually set at the same time. On the PS3 version, the shadows didn't show up till later.
Right, till 4:15, I think it said, and 1:15. Right, so their shots were taken at the same time. They should have took the shot at 4:15 on the PS3 and at 1:15 for the Xbox. That would have been at least a little bit more fair looking, because when you first look at the screenshot, you're like, wow, this is bad on the PS3. It's not as bad as you would think it would look. But still, the shadows are quite amazing,
mm-hmm.
how good they are on the 360. You can see the guy's legs and everything. You know, like it looks like a shadow.
And lighting is incredibly important when it comes to graphics these days.
Yeah.
Textures are important too, but lighting really does that little extra something.
Yes, it does. And we got a game coming up here pretty soon that really shines with the lighting.
Mm-hmm. Next up is Marvel Ultimate Alliance. The character models seem to be a little less quality on the PS3, but for the most part, this was very, very close.
Yeah, it was. It's hard to tell any difference at all. But and this is a pretty low end game, too. Right. You know, this is
it's not like it's Gears of War quality. Right. Graphics.
Yeah, yeah. But it was kind of weird to see that your characters kind of looked funky. Mm-hmm. You know, and look at some of those screenshots. Take a good look at Spider-Man's outfit. Look at his boot, and you can see the detail. You can see like the webbed detail on the 360 version, and you can't on the PS3 version, mm-hmm. which is kind of bizarre.
Next up is NBA 2K7.
Well, wait, that was mine.
Oh, sorry.
The 360 version. We spent a lot of time for a basketball game looking at this. Mm-hmm. We spent a long time looking at these shots.
Because this one actually ends up looking better on the PS3.
I think it does. The 360 overall almost had kind of a blurriness effect to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, the people looked sharper. Right?
Right.
The PS3 seemed to have blurrier like uniforms on the characters and whatnot. Yet everything else looked really good. Mm-hmm. Crystal clear. Look at the ground in some of those shots. The Xbox version does seem to have kind of a fuzzy hardwood floor to it, and the PlayStation 3 even had awesome reflections in that shiny
polished
floor.
Look.
Yeah, and you could see actual reflections of stuff that was there that wasn't showing up on the 360 version.
The people in the stands also looked better in the PS3 version. Oh, the 360 was a little blurry.
Okay. On top of all that, though, it runs like ass on the PS3.
Yeah.
That's the best part. Apparently, it runs nice and smooth on the 360, but not on the PS3. I don't know. And there was that one guy that shows up bald on the PS3, and he actually has hair on the 360. That's not in the notes, but I remember seeing that right before we left.
He looked a lot better with hair, like it was more natural.
Like he was supposed to have hair, I think, and the PS3 just didn't quite get that texture in yet, or whatever the hell it was missing. It was kind of weird.
So you can go ahead and take this one, then.
No, I stole it back.
Oh, Fight Night.
This is a good one, which is why.
Three.
I'm trying to be nice here. So, this is a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one. The 360 absolutely shines in this one. This is probably the most drastic difference.
This is the one that we were talking about with the lighting, where it made like a massive difference.
The lighting is incredible in the 360 version. The crowd is probably the biggest difference. The crowd actually looks like crowd. They look almost as detailed as the fighters do in the 360 version.
They look pretty good. They look pretty damn good.
And they look like cutouts in the PS3 version.
They do. Cardboard stand-up people. Yeah, yeah.
It was incredible.
The ring itself is what really bothered me. Okay, the lighting bothered me the most. Mm-hmm. But the ring on the PS3 version, like you couldn't see like the red rope and the blue rope. You couldn't really see that there was like this thick rope there. It was like one or two jaggedy pixels of just like black texture almost for the ring. It was mm-hmm. really bizarre. And there's a shot that shows it really good if you're looking at the site. It's horrific how bad the PlayStation 3 version looks. Now. Oh, wait, there's more to this story.
Right. The people, however, do look perfectly fine on the PS3 version.
I think they look a little better.
Maybe a little better. It was tough to tell because there was a lot of fuzz going on for motion blur.
Yeah.
So it was tough to tell which one actually looked better. But
now, here's the thing. Overall, I have to hand it to the 360 on this. It's a better experience. Yeah. It destroys the PlayStation 3 version of this. However, this was a launch title
mm-hmm.
for the Xbox 360 versus something that they clearly put effort into to properly bring over to the PS3. And it's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just as a good example, this was a freaking launch game. If it wasn't, it was out before the end of the year, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't a launch, it was right after.
Yeah, because I remember seeing this immediately upon the release of the 360.
This was the release game, in fact. This was whatever it was all like.
Yeah. Oh my God, look at how amazing this looks.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It looks like ass a year later on your PS3. Tony Hawk's Project 8. This is quite a story here, because this one is way overuse of the PlayStation 3's lighting in at least a couple scenes on this. So much that you can't see a goddamn thing.
Oh, yeah. The first one is him, like, jumping out of a truck
or
something.
Yeah, like out of the back of a truck, it looks like.
You can't see outside.
It looks like you're just jumping into white.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't tell if that's the PlayStation 3 flexing its muscle for its lighting ability, finally, because it fell short in every other game we looked at. You know, or GameSpot looked at.
I'm flexing a little too hard.
Yeah, or if it's like, maybe it really just is white out there. Maybe they couldn't draw that far out. You know, no, that's not fair. I don't know why. They really overdid it with that. I'm not quite sure why. On top of that, there's jaggedy lines everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. It's like there's no anti-aliasing at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. There's it runs like just bad too. I've seen reviews all over. If you've looked, you know, into Tony Hawk Project 8,
it runs way better on the 360.
Yeah, you know,
looks way better.
Now, as far as the looks go, the textures are amazingly different here. Mm-hmm. It really looks like you have, you know, last-gen to current-gen textures. Mm-hmm. It really does look that drastic when you look at the textures on this thing. Look at the damn ground. Mm-hmm. You will be shocked at
especially
what you see.
Especially the very last picture.
The very last picture shows a good shot of the ground. I think the one before the last one shows houses and grass in the distance that you mm-hmm. can see a good look at the ass that the textures are on the PS3 version of Tony Hawk's Project 8. I'm pretty upset, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. Well, I'm not too upset because I have the 360.
Right, right. I don't know. Tiger Woods, we'll wrap this up real quick. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 07. The 360 version, I think, has a better looking Tiger Woods himself. Mm-hmm. Like, the golfers look really well done. Okay, they're just a little bit sharper, like more detail there. However, I'm thinking what's happening here is I think the PS3 version is just overall blurred. Like, they kind of went a little haywire with the anti-aliasing on it. Mm-hmm. Now, we both agreed that the trees looked better.
They're a little more fuller in the PS3 version.
But I think it's because they're blurry.
Right.
If you look at it, I was looking at it very closely, and I could see, like, individual pixels on the 360 version, but I couldn't make out an individual pixel on the PS3 version. And the trees look the same, just more like trees, because they're kind of blurry. They're kind of leafy looking, because they're blurry, though. Mm-hmm. However, I think they kind of applied that to the golfers themselves, and they do just look, they lose a bit of detail.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite piece of detail, this is, you spotted this, I would have never fucking seen this.
The swoosh on a...
You know, the Nike fucking logo.
On Tiger Woods, on the PS3 version, is upside down.
But it's not like they drew it upside down. Yeah, it looks like it was like aliased and the thing just fucked up.
Yeah, it just like warped.
Like the anti-aliasing algorithm just fucking lost it for a minute. It was pretty fun. It was entertaining to see, though. I would have never noticed that. But
the grass looks exactly the same on both.
Yeah, yeah. You're not seeing different there. I mean, I don't know. That's a tough call.
It's one of the real close ones.
It's tough because I think the 360 kind of gave it a pass on the anti-aliasing. It looks fantastic on that, and it looks good because it's crystal fucking clear. The PS3 version's a little blurry, but it adds a little bit of life to the trees, mm-hmm. but it just detracts from things up close, which I think kind of hurts them. So, I mean, I think either way you can't lose. You're going to get a great game either way, and most of these are going to be just fine, but, I mean, I would really feel kind of cheated playing Tony Hawk or Fight Night, maybe even Call of Duty even on the PS3.
Need for Speed. I'd rather see more stuff.
Yeah, that would be nice. But fuck Need for Speed. We got Burnout.
Yeah.
Game of the year as far as Spike TV is concerned. That's all I needed to hear. We've got... Let's see. Actually, I wanted to do this really quick. We could talk about this too. Nintendo was sued over a patent on their Wiimote here. Now, we got an address for this. tinyurl.com. Yankee, Georgia Yankee. Is that an L or a 1? Oh, crap. The 16B, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what B as in boy is the last one there. Interlink is the name of a company that has a patent on a...
No, that's an L.
That's an L?
That's an L.
Larry, 6 Bravo. Okay. So YGYL 6B. Interlink, this company, apparently taking Nintendo to court over the trigger on the Wiimote. The button placement itself?
These stories always piss me the hell off. What business do you have patenting where a button is? That's not a patent. You didn't invent that.
This is this is amazing. It's truly shocking, but you have the ultimate good reason why this sucks.
Because we're going to pay for it.
Exactly.
This is why electronics are getting more and more expensive. Is because now... Nintendo has to pay the Rumble dude $60 million.
Yeah.
He's got to pay Interlink for that damn trigger $30 million. Got to go over here because someone invented CD technology or right. DVD technology and give them fucking $80 million.
Yep.
This all goes towards our pocket. Not Nintendo. Nintendo's not paying for this. We are.
Yep.
And it's fucking bullshit.
It is. $150 of parts becomes a $200 item. Mm-hmm. $250 item. $170 on parts becomes a $250 item.
And it's bullshit.
It is. It's basically fucking us up the ass. But these companies don't care. Companies like Interlink that have a shitty business anyway, mm-hmm. happen to hold a patent on something, which, granted, I'll give it to them. When was this filed? At 97? September 97, but it wasn't actually issued till February 1st, 2005, which I imagine, and there's a good indication of where they just started passing everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, oh, yeah, there's a button on this remote that wasn't there before. We'll give it to these guys. Some of their products do kind of give the somewhat impression that, you know, hey, it does look a bit like a Wiimote. Some of them. However, their older ones don't.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely, what do they make? They make those pointer application thingies for like a PowerPoint presentation, right? You also cannot motion control it. There's none of that action going. You have a button, a little deep. Anyway, their new item looks like a fucking Wiimote.
Well, yeah, but who's to say they didn't steal that from Nintendo?
That's just it. It has a 1 and a 2 button, a plus and a minus button, a fucking D-pad on it, and a trigger. You know, for God's sake.
Theirs is actually a trigger. It actually pulls in, and it's a trigger. This is a button underneath the Wiimote.
Yeah. So this better get tossed, but we're fucking retarded here in America, and they're going to award this guy, you know, $100 billion, and Nintendo's going to be like, oh, we're broke now, sorry. You know? We'll go back to making cards.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. This is stupid. Trigger-operated electronic device, patent number 6850221, filed September 1997, issued February 1st, 2005, describes an ergonomically effective mouse for operating a computer. Okay, I'm pretty sure that the Wii does not qualify as a computer. And my proof of this is, remember when the PlayStation 2 was being considered a computer for the tax, import tax in the UK? We'll have to take a good look. That would be my defense right there. Fuck them. Right. It's not a computer. Blow me. It's a video game console. You know? Fuck them. The patent also says on there, this invention relates to a trigger-operated electronic device. Oh, my bad. In particular, it concerns a mouse, not a Wiimote, for operating a cursor in a computer system. Okay. So, yeah. I'll get mad.
I don't even care. This is like patenting double-clicking. Fuck you.
Oh, fuck. Amazon's going to go after that one now.
Yeah.
They patented single-clicking.
Fuck you.
Remember the one-click purchase?
Yeah.
They patented that. I know. This
you do not get to patent that
this
shit.
This is asinine. This is the kind of stuff right here. I mean, it hurts gamers all around the world, but this is one more reason why I would love to walk away from the U.S. And just be like, you know what? You guys are retarded.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I like the ideas of this place, some of them, most of them, at least what we started with,
mm-hmm.
you've morphed it into something ugly. You know?
It's disgusting.
It is. It really is. It's sad. It's sad. Let's do something positive.
Next up, we're going to do some hardware and software sales for both Japan and America.
We've got to do this from time to time, just to see what the state of things.
Yeah, we're pretty interested in it. We know a lot of our listeners are pretty interested in it, so...
We can't do it all the time, though, because it's boring as shit after, you know, repeatedly. So yeah. Every so often, we're going to slip these in. And as you can see, this show is more like... This Week in Gaming, as opposed to a normal episode, where we talk about games and stuff we actually played. You know, we have Geometry Wars and Final Fantasy to blame, what can I say? Yep. These things take time.
Alright, so first up is a Japanese hardware. And a number one on the list is the Wii.
Woo! Baby!
At 350,358.
That's going good over the second place thing, too. This is for last week.
And yeah, this is just 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up is the Nintendo DS Lite at 176,901 for a total of 6,132,183 for the year. Third up is the PlayStation 3 at 31,436 for a grand total of 187,836. The PlayStation Portable is number 4 at 23,917, and the PlayStation 2 at 23,115. Number 6 is the Xbox 360 at only 4,053.
God damn you people.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know.
Number 7 is the Game Boy Advance SP at 1,572. The Game Boy Micro at 1,252. The GameCube at 821.
I'm surprised they're still selling. I'm shocked.
The Game Boy DS at 140. Number 11 is the Game Boy Advanced at 22. What is this now? Oh, DS total for the regular and
right,
Light.
This, yeah, yeah.
Is 177,141, and the GBA total is 2,846.
This was the week of 11/27 through December 3rd. Mm-hmm. November 27th through the 3rd of December. Just because we wanted to be clear on what week this was.
Yeah. And software for Japan. We're just going to do the top 10. PS2, Tales of Destiny, and 269,756.
We can round those a little bit. That's a lot of numbers.
All right. Wii Sports is number 2 at 176,000. Wii Play, which I think looks pretty cool. I'll be glad when that comes over here. That's 174,000.
This shocks me, this next one.
Yeah, that is weird that it's number 4. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess at 139,000. Number 5 is a GBA game, the Final Fantasy
6.
Final Fantasy 6 Advance at 138,000.
Bastards have it already. We're not getting that until February, and I will be picking that up.
Number 6 is a PS2 title called Summon Knight 4, which I have no idea.
Me neither.
That's 116,000. Number 7 for the Nintendo DS is Pokemon Diamond at 70,000. Number 8 is Jump Ultimate Stars for the Nintendo DS at 66,000. Number 9 is WarioWare Smooth Moves for the Wii, and that's 64,000.
That's gotta be pretty good.
I think so. I think WarioWare stuff is really nice for Wii and the DS.
Yeah,
it seems
yeah.
really for it.
That's why I was. Do they have Rayman over there? I don't know
I
if
don't
that's.
Know.
I don't. Yeah, I'm not so sure if that's over there or not. You know what would be nice too is if we could get a list of like Xbox Live Arcade and Virtual Console sales too.
well, they're not going to be very big in Japan.
No.
And the number 10 for Nintendo DS is Love and Berry DS Collection for 60,000.
I wonder if that's like the whole thing though. What's like that comes packaged with a DS. I'm not so sure. It doesn't specify. Mm. But that's like a whole thing over there. I've seen it before, and they actually have a special, if I remember right, a special DS for it. Like, they had a special Final Fantasy III DS, you know, where
really?
The logo or the characters, you know, different jobs and whatnot on it. So, I'm not so sure if that's going to be the whole collection or whatnot, but I'm shocked, though. Like, look at the jump in Wii sales to DS Lite sales. Everybody over there just must have a DS.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was how many DSs? 177,000 sold, and there was 350,000 Wiis sold. You know, mm-hmm. that's between number one and number two. That's a drastic jump there.
It jumps down a lot from the PlayStation 3 as well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
31,000. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And then it actually stays pretty close for all the PlayStation stuff. There are 3, 4, and 5 spots. The Xbox 360 takes the next giant dump.
Right.
23,000 for the PS2 down to 4,000. I mean, we have to look at this and kind of analyze, you know, what exactly is going on here. Is Nintendo finally going to step back in and just bitch slap Sony and Microsoft around?
We'll have to see, because right now it's the initial, oh my God, look how new and crazy
right.
this is. We want to get it.
Right. I can't wait to see how this pans out. I mean, like we said last show, I mean, the clear winner so far is obviously the 360. It's had a year head start, mm. and it has some amazing features. But then I have to look at the numbers for these things, and I start to wonder exactly where we're going in the future with things like this. Let me go ahead and do the American stuff, and we'll talk about those for a while before we jump into the movies, okay? The American hardware sales, number one, numero uno, Nintendo DS. Okay, this is 918,000. That's a lot of freaking DSs for the
yeah,
week. You know? What the hell, man? PlayStation 2, okay, it comes in second place at 66,400. The Game Boy Advance. Now, this I don't understand. How the fuck does the GBA come in third at 641,000?
I'd like to point out that the first three titles are all the cheap stuff. Look how cheap America is.
That's amazing. With the amount of money that this country has as luxury money, you know, like mm-hmm. as far as disposable income goes, we have more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
The top of our list should be, you know, the 360, the PS3, the Wii, you know, and like the N-Gage. Okay, all the expensive stuff. I mean, it really should be off the charts, and yet here we are, you know, picking up $130 and under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, number four, Big Daddy Xbox 360, you know, over 500,000 units, 511,000, But still, I mean, the grand total sold here is 3.8 million. I mean, look at the PlayStation 2 here is 41.14 million.
Well, the PlayStation 2's also been out for, what, six years?
Oh, well, right.
Now?
A hell of a lot longer. And the DS, though, 8.1 million. Okay, now we know that's a huge sensation with kids. Mm. You know, the younger audience does tend to pick up this portable stuff like crack these days. Boy, do I wish we had this when I was a kid. Something this badass. Playing Tetris on my pea green Game Boy. Fucking, oh my god. But, you know, we liked it. Sucked up batteries like no tomorrow.
Hey, man, I had the Game Gear.
Oh, wow, I never had one of those.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Yeah, I bet. Color.
Yeah.
Damn. Number five with the Wii, 476,000. Number six, PlayStation Portable, 412,000 for the PSP. That's doing better than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's doing a lot better than I thought. That's sold more than the 360 has. PlayStation 396,600. I imagine that's every single one of them that they had there. GameCube, 69,000. How the hell did they still sell 69,000 GameCubes? Actually, the rest of these three, I don't know how they sold. The Xbox still sold 4,000. Well, there's 19,000 of those, though. Or million, I mean. 19.8 million Xboxes sold in the U.S. total, though. That's a pretty solid number. It's just under half of the PS2's, you know. The N-Gage sold 8.
Seriously.
The top software in the United States. This is an interesting list because this is most of our listeners, I think, are from the U.S. Sure, in the fuck not Japan. Actually, probably, I swear to God, we need the U.K. numbers. Or at least some kind of European numbers.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of them in like, IRC.
Yeah, we have a lot of European listeners, and I would like to get their numbers. But if you can find a spot that tells us, let us know. We'll add that into this, you know?
Yeah, but it'd all be like games from 3 years ago.
Final Fantasy VII was the top seller. That's just mean. Top software. Okay, now number one, if we add them together, there was a regular version and a collector's version. So the top dog really goes to, and is this really a surprise, Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot. 1,086,000 copies. That's total, though. Next, basically the number one, though, that doesn't have a... Wait, this did have a collector's edition, didn't it?
Yeah, but they didn't count it.
That's weird.
Because it was only like at EB. It was like special.
Oh, a real limited run of them? Okay. Final Fantasy XII, 895,000. Number two, this is the regular edition of Gears of War, 810,000. Spot number three, this was Guitar Hero 2. This is with and without the guitar. The totals, 498,000. The number three that didn't have a compilation, Nintendo Wii, The Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess. I'm glad to see that got number three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus Christ, it's The Legend of Zelda.
I'd like to point out that Wii sold 476,000. Zelda sold 411,000.
That's right. So
almost a 1-to-1 ratio.
Somewhere there's 65,000 people without Zelda. let's see. Number four, this was kind of a compilation here. This one is kind of cheating. Nintendogs. This is all four Nintendog versions together. 380,000.
That's crazy, though. That's still up there like that.
Yeah, that is a shock, but I imagine there's a lot of young girls, probably,
mm-hmm.
that are demanding that they get their doggies on. PS2, number four, Guitar Hero 2 with the guitar, 356,000. Number five, PS2, WWE SmackDown versus Raw 2007, Bring the Noise, baby, 348,000. I'm surprised there's not a NASCAR game up here. The redneck crowd seems to be going strong with the PS2. Number six, the Xbox 360, Call of Duty 3, have to get your World War II fucking shooter game on, 332,000. Number seven, this was kind of a compilation again, PS2 Need for Speed Carbon Regular plus a collector's edition, 300,000 copies. Number seven, all by itself, Madden NFL 2007, 250,000 copies. I'm glad to see that so low on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, PS2 Need for Speed Carbon, 236,000. That I think should be higher. I've been hearing a lot of good things about that game.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, Nintendo DS, Nintendogs, Dalmatian and Friends, 218,000. And bringing up the rear, Nintendo DS, Pokemon Ranger, 205,000 copies sold. That's a lot of games.
Yeah, I kind of wish this list had had totals.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. The software totals, that would be pretty amazing to see, actually.
It is nice to see the Gears of War sold
right.
Well over a million.
The software sales are for the month. Somehow we missed that. Okay, so that explains a lot, though. That explains an awful lot. So if the software sales are for the month, though, that's still an awful lot of games sold in November.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of games. At least Gears of War is going strong for its release month anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Top dog, and it's beating Final Fantasy. I can't remember. Did Final Fantasy 12 come out this month or October?
It was October.
Oh, October 31st. That's right. It was Halloween night. I remember now. Okay. So still not doing too bad. Nice to know where we stand, though. But like you pointed out, you know, the American hardware, not the hardware sales were for the week. Okay. And the Nintendo DS, the PS2, and the Game Boy Advance are maybe the cheap ones. But it's software, we're buying, it's like the expensive stuff. I mean, as far as software goes, Gears of War is a $60 to $70 game, you know. Final Fantasy XII, they had, I guess, a collector's edition, you said, at some places, like EB or something like that. How is that $50 or $60? Or, I think it's $50.
I don't remember.
Okay. And Gears of War, Guitar Hero 2 with the guitar. I mean, that's selling a ton.
It's quite a bit expensive.
At least it's not a bunch of Nintendo DS and PS2 games up on the top. You know, they're like maybe $30 to $50 games or $40 games or something. So, I mean, at least the good software is being purchased. So that's good. I don't have a whole lot else to say on that. I mean, other than I really... Okay, if we add those three Xbox 360 numbers up, what are we looking at here? 3.8 million in the United States, and I have no idea what Europe's looking at, and as far as Japan goes, that's 178,000. Okay, so 3.8-something million Xbox 360s. I have to wonder, if the 360 sold as many as the, let's say, PlayStation 2, at least just in the U.S., if we had 40 million Xbox 360s, basically 10 times the amount that are actually sold. First of all, Microsoft would be wetting themselves. Secondly, I gotta wonder, do you think we would have like a quality of service issue with Xbox Live?
Probably.
I imagine that might be pretty detrimental to the whole network, which is a lot of what this console has going for it. You know, I mean, granted, they've got some amazing games, but the whole online, the whole community thing is just spectacular for the 360.
No, that's not to say we would 5 years from now when... I mean, because this number is, again, a five-year-old number.
Right, right.
And as time goes on...
They could make upgrades to the network and whatnot, right.
Because more gold members subscribe slowly, and so they can afford to add more into the network.
Right. I hope they keep up on it, because I would hate to see it deteriorate the more people that got on it. You know, it would be kind of like the first day of the Wii launch, you know, where it's, like, impossible to get any of the channels and whatnot, which still doesn't work, right?
No, yeah, you have the shopping thing does.
But like the virtual console?
Yeah.
But nothing else?
Right.
Ugh.
No weather, no news.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
I think they're planning on having the multiplayer for games next year.
Are there currently any multiplayer games, though?
I don't know.
I mean, like something...
Network-wise, I don't know.
Yeah, something that's supposed to be playable online, but just isn't yet.
I don't think so.
No, okay. I just don't know. The list is you know, pretty small. I should know those 16 or 20 games by heart by now, but I can't think of anything. But I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I would imagine something like Excitebike could be,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Or Excitebike, Excitetruck could be, I guess. I don't know. I don't think I saw a multiplayer option there, though. I really don't remember. Huh. I don't know. I would be pretty upset, though, if they boned up my Xbox Live.
Yeah.
In any case, movies. You want to lead off with...
Sure. Last night I watched Beer Fest.
It sounds like such a good movie.
It's made from the comedy team Broken Lizard, which you know from Super Troopers and Camp... No, not Camp.
It's the island one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
Me neither.
Super Troopers.
Yeah. That's the one that everybody probably saw because it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Club Dread.
Yes, that's the one. So, this movie is cheesy. No. like so cheesy.
I saw previews for it, I think, on Xbox Live, as a matter of fact. I watched a trailer for it, and I don't know, it looked reasonable.
Well, first of all, an example is that the German guys, the bad guys of the movie.
The bad guys.
They don't talk like with regular German accents. They sound like those guys from Saturday Night Live that were making
Hans
fun
and
of
Franz.
Yeah, we're gonna have to pump you up. And that's exactly what they sound like, and it's bad.
Yeah,
it's just well, the plot of the movie is these two American Germans that they were born in America, but like their grandpa is from Germany, and he dies, and he wants them to take his ashes to Oktoberfest, And there's a special place where he wants his ashes to put on a shelf. And it turns out that that special place is an underground competition, like Olympic style.
Oh, nice. Beer drinking?
Well, beer games. Drinking games. Like quarters.
Cool.
And fucking asshole and stuff like that.
Right.
And so the idea is they go there with the ashes, and then they find out that that's what this is, and they're just like totally humiliated. It turns out that the reason why their grandpa moved back to America or moved to America is because he stole the family recipe. He was the illegitimate son of this major brewery's owner and a whore. And so they come back to America, like all punched out and like now they find out their great grandmother's a whore and their grandfather is a thief and all this other stuff, and so they decide that they're gonna go back next year and kick some ass. So the bulk of the movie is about them training to drink beer quickly and all this other stuff, and you know, it's got some amusing points, and there's just so much cheese. Like, there's one part where the guy, I can't remember this character's name in Super Troopers, but the fat guy.
Uh-huh.
He's in that, and at one point he dies. And then his twin brother comes. And he's like, I want you to call me the same name as my twin brother.
Oh, right.
And then, like, so after, like, 5 minutes after the guy dies, all of a sudden he's back. Effectively.
Right.
It's just real cheesy stuff like that.
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
And it was just like a really bad one of those sports movies. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I did not dig it very much at all.
No, it doesn't sound too good. I'm curious, though. Like, I'm going to have to... Is it out on DVD or something?
Yes.
Or okay, I'm going to have to check this out. And that's going to be pissing away $4.50 or however the hell much it is to rent, but I'm going to have to watch it.
I'm going to give it... A 2 out of 450.
A 2 out of 875?
Oh, no, right. We're doing 875. No, it's more like a 4 out of 875.
Okay, so it's not a bad rental?
Right.
That's about what it is to rent a movie, I think, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a complete waste of your life. Just be prepared for a very, very cheesy comedy.
Yeah, I think I can dig it. The kind of game that I'll have on, or the kind of movie I'll have on and let play 4 or 5 times while I'm probably playing Geometry Wars or something. Talk about a complete waste of time. I watched this movie called Pulse, which I waited for so long for some reason, thinking it was going to be good. Now, somehow, I still haven't seen Saw 3 yet. It's not on DVD,
really?
It's why. Yeah. So I'm kind of waiting for that. But the fact that it's out there kind of gets my brain going about some kind of, you know, sick horror movie or something like that I got to watch. Enter Pulse. We had this movie, it came out, I guess, on DVD a little bit ago. It's supposed to be some scary horror movie, and I mean, trying to follow this movie is terrible. They did not do a good job at all of getting you to care about the characters, getting to know who they are, or even about the whole story altogether. Basically, it's about this group of people that know very little about computers, okay? But in their little world, they seem to be the computer geniuses, okay? You know, the guy with the Ethernet cable, it's a phone cord, right? You know, yeah. And they try to make it this very computery, techie, scary movie thing. Kind of like, you ever seen Fear.com? Worst movie ever. This is mildly better than that because they didn't try so hard to make it computer-based, right? So the computer kind of thing was just like a side thing. This is how you can tell that you're being watched by dead people. So these people, their buddy dies, and now they're seeing him on his computer screen. It almost looks like a high-quality webcam, but it's, of course, full screen, and they don't have Windows. They have some Uber operating system that looks all cool, and that somebody can just jack in and take over their full screen at some point and just show the only decent part of the movie, I think, was what was seen on these screens, because it was genuinely creepy what they had on the screens. They would show, like, you know, a guy that was just sitting there who would he would look at you through the monitor almost as if he wasn't sure that you were looking back at him, and that's what kind of made it creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, he was not actually making eye contact with you and not actually looking at you, but more like just kind of some average dude sitting in front of his computer who was about to kill himself. You know, and it was creepy that way. You felt almost like you were spying on him mm-hmm. with like a webcam or something, you know? And so from time to time, you know, one of their friends would die or whatever, and they'd show up on their computer, and you'd sit, one of the characters would sit down in front of the computer, and all of a sudden they'd see their dead friend there, and he would just sit down in front of his computer with no emotion on his face. And this is probably also why it was so creepy. It was very calm and cool, you know, very collected, very, very just well done. It was actually well acted, almost as if they were to pretend that there was nobody there and nobody watching, you know? And they were just being themselves, and they picked up a gun, and they just blew their brains off. You know, they did a good job in that. But the whole rest of the movie kind of sucked. There was this whole thing about this virus. See, this company was doing research for telecommunications or some kind of crap like that. And, of course, you don't find this out until, like, the last 5 minutes of the movie when you meet, you know, the guy who knows the entire story of the movie but didn't tell anybody right. while the entire town is disappearing. Okay? And it was just fucking lame. You have these people that all of a sudden get killed by these seemingly random occurrences. You know, one guy, one of the chicks, she's out doing her laundry, and this crazy, like, eight-legged person crawls out of her laundry and sucks in her soul.
Huh.
Okay, but then, you know, somebody else goes off and, like, gets killed by, you know, something equally as retarded, just random, though. They didn't seem to matter. It was just very disjointed. I mean, the whole movie just fell apart for me. I couldn't even watch it all. I mean, I sat there and I was like, this is terrible. And I'd play, you know, around the Geometry Wars while I was watching it. And I'd look back at it and I'd try to follow it for like another 10 minutes and I was like, fuck it. 10 more minutes of Geometry Wars. You know, it's still playing. I'd look back at it again and I just could not do it. This movie was bad. and you know how they defeat, you know, the bad guys is red utility tape. Because apparently they can't cross red tape. It's like duct tape, but it's red. It's very bizarre.
It's magical tape.
It's basically magical tape. It's the explanation was the red color filters out the radio frequency that the undead ride in on, you know, the ghosts ride in on, and it was just so lame. I don't know. I could not get into this movie at all. I was pretty let down. And there, as far as the gore factor goes, there's nothing there. You know, there's you see people that get like infected with this whatever, like these ghosts would go in and like suck out their soul, then they're just like this shell walking around for a little bit until they can't take it anymore and they just gotta kill themselves, you know. So like the guy who hangs himself with the phone cord, he's walking around, his eyes are all sunken in, he's basically had like his soul sucked out or whatever, and then he goes off and he like hangs himself, but they turn black. The people turn black, like their skin turns black, almost like there's black ink in their veins. It'll slowly creep through them and they're just like, oh, the pain. Oh, it hurts so bad. I can't bring myself to kill myself, but I need to die because it hurts. You know, it was just fucking stupid. I can't believe anybody would pay to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. And sadly, I will stick it with the 2 out of 875. if you happen across $2, you could piss it away on this. It was worth it for the creepy scenes and the monitors. It was creepy. It was very creepy in those parts, but there was nothing else this movie offered at all. Mm-hmm. Not a good story, not a good plot, not good characters, not good, you know, anything. Just what, I didn't like the colors they used in the movie. It seemed kind of dark.
And like,
not that that's bad.
Lots of blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the darker colors. Like, there would be like an all red scene too. But it's kind of a dark red because you're in a black room with no lights, but there's red tape on the window, you know, to keep the bad guys out. And the light shines through it. So it kind of glows red in the house. It's just, it could have been fantastic. I actually saw another movie called Stay Alive, which I didn't put on the notes here because it missed the last like 4 shows in a row, I think. We had it on the notes and I kept taking it off. And it's been a while since I've seen it now, so it's kind of hard to remember. And time heals all wounds. So I've got a bad feeling that I'm going to say more good things about this than I would have when I originally saw it, but it actually didn't strike me as a half-bad movie. It was kind of a cheeseball gamer horror movie.
Right, I remember something about this.
Yeah, did you see a preview? We were probably talking about it, and then we never made it on the show because we've been doing shows that were extra long.
Right.
It's a hell of a good idea. I thought, okay, this guy beta tests video games for, you know, companies or whatever, this is what they do, and he's got a collection of friends that are gamers, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool, because they're a bit off the mark an awful lot, but they're right on with some of these people, you know, I know people like some of these people, okay, and it's neat to see a little community of gamer friends get together. You know what I mean? Just to see how bizarre they are and how much fun they have and how they talk about games. And they work it into real life stories, you know? Like, oh my god, I was so scared, just like that time in, you know, Silent Hill, you know, or whatever. And they're just telling a story about something else and they somehow bring games into it. And this game is killing people. they're playing this game and they're dying in real life how they died in the game, which I thought was a great idea. Not exactly perfectly done, though. But they did a pretty good job.
It seems to, like, proliferate that games are evil mentality, though.
That's fine. What do you want? Should we do a you know, Hello Kitty Island Adventure movie?
Yes.
You know, yes. No, we shouldn't.
It'll give it an 8.
We need a Gears of War movie is what we need. Who cares what the parents think, okay? And this was it's not based on a real game or anything like that. You know, it's just this game they made up called Stay Alive. I've never seen a real game called that anyway. It was neat because at some point they go to like an EB or something too, you know, and they talk to the douchebag behind the counter and whatnot. It was pretty good because you've seen yourself in situations and some, you know, some of these guys get into at some points. And it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I'd say my worst problem with it was, overall, it lacked an amazing ending, right? It just kind of was like, meh, at the end, you know? And also, I got real tired of, like, the death rattle of the bad guys coming, you know, and you knew you were going to die. It was a vibrating, like, PS2 controller. You know, because, like, what would happen is, you know, like, let's say at one point they're walking around an office building after hours, so obviously nobody's there. And they would hear this, like, sound. And it's like this PS2, or it's just, like, some kind of a... It looks an awful lot like a PS2 controller or whatever. They weren't necessarily that. Hooked up to like a computer or something that was, you know, the rumble feature was going while it's sitting on a desk because you'd hear this noise. And, of course, ooh, what's that sound? You know, and they'd go check it out. But it was kind of neat to see how they would work in game elements into the movie, too. You know, like in fact, the movie starts out in a whole – you're in the game. It's a whole CG thing in the game, and it's really well done. And there's some decent gore. You know, it's not all that bad at first. And you're like, wow, then it turns into a real movie. And you find out it's a game. You find out this guy was beta testing it, and he was killed. They don't put it together. He was killed just like he was in the game. His buddies decide, oh, they find the game. Somebody brought, yeah, this was what we found in his house or his office or whatever the hell. And, oh my god, this game nobody has. Guys, let's play it. So they call up like 5 or 6 people. And then, of course, the one, you know, like the hot chick that's not a gamer that falls in love with the lead character kind of person, you know.
Right.
So there's the non-gamer, then like 5 or 6 gamers. And it's awesome because they all get together at some dude's house. He's got fucking big-ass monitors everywhere. They all got headsets on. They're all geared up. I mean, ready to have a good night of playing this brand new game. And it's cool as shit because they all hop into this game. They all have their own characters and they're walking around this like creepy old cemetery type place, and there's this house here, and it's scary, and it's got voice recognition and stuff, and it's really cool at first, and it just unfortunately didn't end amazingly good. It just didn't have like a wow, that's a great ending. It kind of had a god, that was kind of a weak ending.
That's one of my biggest problems with horror movies. They tend to have these crappy endings.
Right. So this one definitely fell flat, but I did not, you know, not enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
I actually sat and watched the whole thing, and I, like, was really into it. But it fell flat. You know, it just didn't deliver like most great games, so I'm going to stick this with the... It's definitely a rental. So whatever you got to pay for rentals, I think it's $4, so 4 out of 8.75. It's definitely worth the rental, I think, if you're a gamer. If not anything, just to take a good laugh at it.
There you go. You know what else we watched recently?
Hmm.
Is In a Scanner Darkly.
Oh, shit, we did. We'll have to cover that next week.
Okay.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Damn, we could have had a great movie review. I liked it. What do you think?
I still don't know.
That's what I said on IRC. This is either the best movie I've ever seen, or I have no idea what the fuck happened.
See, I think it's either a really good movie or a giant piece of crap. I can't tell.
I think it was, I don't know. We'll have to talk about the whole thing of it next time, just so, because we don't go too far over. But peace out. We'll be around next week.
Later.